necessary to cover the blood with, make hilel amuin lo yishfot. Ella imhein hayalo afar muchan mebaldio. If what's going to be required is actually digging up the earth, then there will be various problems, as we will discuss, maybe a problem of muktzah, maybe a problem of a more serious malacha, and therefore you shouldn't slaughter the animal at all unless you actually have prepared before Yom Tov sand or earth to which to cover the animal. Umodim, however, Beit Shammai agree, she'im shachat, after the fact, that's what it says in the Mishnah. And now the Gemara is trying to disentangle what this halacha is. Hashochet chayava och b'yom tov. The language of hashochet implies that this is talking about after the fact, the di'avad. Hashochet di'avad in l'chadchila lo. The implication being that you shouldn't slaughter at all. If that's Beit Shammai's opinion, then what in fact the Gemara is asking is the difference between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Ema seifo Beit Hillel amun lo yishkot miklal betanakama sabal yishkot. The statement of Beit Hillel that says lo yishkot implies that the previous case was talking about the situation until Beit Hillel came in with that prohibition. The implication is that there's nothing wrong with slaughtering a bird or an animal, a wild animal, on a chaya on Yom Tov, even though you had not already prepared the sand. So the Gemara says, "Holokasha lo yishchot yechaseka amar," that you shouldn't cover the blood. Ema seifa umodim sheim shachat sheyichbo v'dekav yechase. From the end of this Mishnah, Beit Hillel agree that if after the fact you have already performed the shkita, you're allowed to dig up the earth to cover the blood. Miklal d'reisha lav de'adatu. Amar Rabba hachi kiyama. Hashochet doesn't mean that he actually did slaughter already, but hashochet means someone who is about or is intending to perform shkita. Hashochet shebali malech keitzad. Omealo. Suppose you're the rav in the community and someone tells you that he doesn't have any sand ready, and he should I perform the shkita or not? Beit Shammai omrim omolo shchot chafor v'chaseh. You can tell him just go right ahead and perform the shkita. Beit Hillel omrim lo yishchot. You tell him don't perform shkita. Ela imkein hayalo afal mulchan mibo'odyo. So this is really talking about l'chadchila. That Hashochet does not mean b'de'avad, but Hashochet means l'chadchila. And Beit Shammai are saying that even in advance, even if they know that he's going to get himself into a situation where he will be obligated to dig up the earth and cover it, cover the blood, nevertheless, you tell him to go ahead. Rav Yosef amar hachakiyama, Hashochet habar li molech kitzad omar lo, Beit Shammai amar omer lo lech chafol shkot v'chaseh, dig up the earth, perform shkita and cover. Beit Hillel omrim lo yishchot imel al ken hayalo afar muchan mibo'odyo. So the only difference between these two formulations was the order. And according to the second formulation, Beit Shammai is instructing him to get the sand ready in advance of the shkita instead of after the shkita. Amalei Abaye, lemer Rabbi Yosef lema mava rabba b'de Rabbi Zera amarav k'mifli. Perhaps this difference of opinion has to do with Rabbi Zera Amar Rav Zalacha. The Amar Rabbi Zera Amar Rav, Hashochet tzarich sheyitein afar lamata v'afar lamala. That the mitzvah of kisui hadam requires a undercoating of earth or sand before you perform the shkita, and then covering it with blood. Sheneimar v'shafachet damo v'kisohu ba'afar. That it should be covered in earth. It doesn't say afar lo kaneimar, ela ba'afar. In other words, according to the salacha, part of the mitzvah kisui hadam is to have a base of sand or earth or ashes or something on which the blood is being absorbed and then covered. So perhaps the mar it later Rabbi Zeira, the rabba that later Rabbi Zeira, perhaps the difference of opinion as to the formulation of this language of Beit Shammai, do you say Chafor Shchot, or do you say Shchot V'Chafor, has to do with this problem. Amar Le Bein L'Ridi Bein L'Rabba Itlam Rabbi Zeir. V'Hocha V'Hokim Efudi, Rabba Savar Yika Far Lamata In Ilo Lo Chayshinan Dimlam In Lachbo Lo Shachit, that you don't tell him to go ahead and dig the earth up in advance, because maybe if he's digging it, then he may decide to not perform the shkita, and therefore this was an unnecessary exertion on Yom Tov. You don't tell a person not to do something because you're worried that he may actually not need it, because if you cause people to be overly machmir on items like this, he will decide that maybe he will become overly religious and not perform shechita on Yom Tov at all, and the net effect will be to be about Simchat Yom Tov. Okay, so the first item then, maybe the only item that I want to just see how the time goes, that I want to discuss with various halachot having to do with the halachot Kisui Hadam. And the one halacha that we see here is that you have to have earth or something below the blood. Let's take a look at Rashi. Ba'afar, Rashi says, Mashma shehu nivlal v'tamud ba'afar kodem hakisur. That the blood is absorbed in the afar before it is covered. V'kiso afar havi mashma delo kafir el hakisur. And the Gemara says, everyone agrees with Rabbi Zeila, itlan lo Rabbi Zeila, uve'inan afar lamata, v'achi ki amarava, im yucholim lamar lo shchot miyad, שיש לו דבר אפר למטה שרין אלי, אבל אם אין, אם אנו צריכים לומר לו חפור, תחילה לא נתיר לו. דילמה לאחר כפיר הממליך ולא שפט, נמצא שחופר בחינה. העדיפה דלא תגזיה. Okay, so, let's analyze this halacha of the Kisui Hadam. And there are a number of problems here in Kisui Hadam. As we will see, the halacha is that there is a requirement of Kisui Hadam that's a mitzvah. Right? What about this halacha of having an undercoating? Is that also part of the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam? In other words, for example, suppose you slaughter a chicken and the wind blows earth over on top of the blood. Well, there's no requirement on your part to perform kisui, because there's no longer any uncovered blood. But you certainly haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of kisui hadam if it was performed automatically. Does the preparation of the sand or the earth underneath the blood have to be part of the mitzvah in the sense that you actually have to do it? Or can you just simply slaughter the chicken, the blood will fall on some earth that's already there, so there was no deliberate act on your part, and then the mitzvah kisui is fulfilled by you as far as the covering of the blood is concerned. In other words, is the
key on the person, or is the key that the blood should be covered?
Well, everyone agrees that as far as the covering of the blood is concerned, there's a mitzvah on you to cover it.
That the person has to do it.
That you have to do it. Good evening. The question is, assuming, does this apply as well? I think. Yeah. Does this apply as well to the issue of the subcoating, the undercoating? Do you have to actually do it, or can that be automatic? But maybe we should review some more basic notions of this blood. How much of the blood has to be covered, for example? Does the mitzvah kisui hadam require you to cover all the blood of the chicken? Or if you have a huge slaughterhouse and you have a large accumulation of many, many gallons of blood, you have to be sure that every single drop is covered or not. So let's take a look at some of these halachot, maybe starting with this last question. So let's take a look on Daf Gimel. My page 3. The Mishnah, which I guess I see off on the next page, is it there? Tanu Rabbanan is where I want to start. But let's start. Tanu Rabbanan, v'chisahu, Malameid shedam hanitaz v'shal al hasakim chayev lachasot. It says v'chisahu ba'afar, but you have to cover the blood, implying that blood that has been spotted, I remember, in the course of slaughtering a chicken frequently, the blood squirts out to a large distance, or some of the blood is on the knife, that is also required to be covered. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ematai, when is there such a requirement? Bizman she'ein sham dam elohu. That's only if this is the only remaining blood. Aval yesham dam shelohu patur melechasot. If there is other blood, then you don't have to go to the trouble of scraping off the wall or scraping off the knife to get the blood to be cut. Tanya ida v'chisahu melamed shekol dam al chayev lechasot. The chisahu ba'afar mean implying that all of the blood has to be covered. Mikan amru dam amitaz shalal hagafayim chayav lachasot. Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel ba'med dvarim amurim shelo kisa dam hanefesh, that you didn't cover the vital blood. What the exact definition of the vital blood is a little hard to determine, but in any event, it's presumably the blood that gushes out immediately after the Shechita and for a certain amount of time. B'med dvarim shelo kisa dam hanefesh, shelo kisa dam hanefesh patur amalach chasot. B'may kemibrigi, we have here apparently a three-way machloket. Ramban has a slightly different interpretation in this Gemara, but apparently here we have a three-way machloket. Rabbanan savri damo kol damo. Rav Yehuda savar damo v'afilu miktsat damo. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel savar damo hamiyuchad. So according to this Gemara, there's a three-way machloket as to how much, and if so, which blood has to be covered. According to the Chachamim, the implication is that all the blood of the chicken has to be covered after you perform the Shechita, whatever is coming out in the course of the Shechita. That's, of course, rather difficult to carry out in practice. I mean, what happens when you take the chicken home and there's still a certain amount of blood dripping out? According to Rabbi Yehuda, the covering, but that's the simplest interpretation of the pasuk, right? The simplest interpretation of the pasuk is that it, contrary to the dam of a behema, which is something which is fit on a mizbeach, for the case of those animals which are fit for eating but not roi lahaklava, namely a oaf or a chaya, then the requirement is still you're not allowed to eat the blood and you have to cover all the blood. In other words, the Torah seems to be placing the mitzvah kisui hadam as a counterbalance to the prohibition against the eating of blood. And if it's an exact counterbalance, just as we're not allowed to eat any portion of the blood, similarly we might feel that we should be required to cover all the blood. That would be the simplest reading of the pasuk, but of course it poses a very intolerable burden in actual practice. But in any event, that's what the Chachamim seem to be saying here. That covering the blood means covering all the blood. Rabbi Yehuda takes the opposite position, namely that the covering of the blood is a symbolic act, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the contrapositive of the eating of the blood. That's a lot more livable with, but of course it seems to contravene the spirit of the pasuk. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is in a compromised position. That is, that the kisui hadam is not just a symbolic act, but it covers only dam hanefesh. And since there may be some halachic differences between dam hanefesh and the rest of the blood as far as achila is concerned, then perhaps there are also some differences between dam hanefesh as far as the mochel kisui is concerned. So those are the three positions.
Salting and soaking, would that take care of the blood?
Well, it would make it more problematical, right? If you agree with the Chachamim's position and take it literally, so that when you salt the chicken, you're extracting more blood, then what do you do with that blood? You have to tell all the housewives when they take the chicken home from the butcher that they have to then, if they're doing the salting, that they have to. It's rather difficult. But at any rate, this is a three-way machloket. All right. Let's read some other Gemaras before we come back to the discussion at this point in the Rishonim. To my mind, of course, this problem of how much of the blood you have to cover should probably be the first item on the agenda. What is the definition of the halach? But it gets sort of stuck in the middle of the perek, so we're working our way backwards to the beginning of the perek of Kisui Hadam. The second is the issue that we discussed a little bit. Let's take a look at the Mishnah here on the top of the page, my page 4. Shachat v'lo chisa, v'ra acher chayev l'chaso. First of all, although the principal obligation of Kisui Hadam falls on the Shochet himself, there is still a residual obligation on someone else if the Shochet disappears, runs away, still is a mitzvah for any observer to perform the Shochet. Chisaho v'nitgaleh, if you covered the blood once, then you've fulfilled your obligation. So if you cover the blood and then a strong storm comes up and blows away the earth that you've covered the blood with, so it's become uncovered, you're not obliged to go back and cover it a second time. Kisau haruach chayav l'chaso. The Mishnah itself, kisau haruach chayav l'chaso, is ambiguous, right? The simplest reading of the Mishnah is that even if the blood had been covered automatically, that is, the wind came and blew a pile of sand over the blood, it's your obligation to go add some more sand, right? That would be the simplest interpretation of the Mishnah. That would be the simplest interpretation of the Mishnah. The Gemara doesn't interpret it that way. Let's go look towards the bottom of the page. Kisau v'nitgale, omar le ravachi v'redo rovo lo ravashi maishno mehashavata veda di amar mar hesheva filo meyapamim, omar le hatum lo k'tiv miyuta, k'tiv miyuta v'chisahu. What the miyuta is v'chisahu is not clear to me, but in any event the Mishnah says that once you've covered it, then your obligation is fulfilled. Kisau aruach, omar rabba barachana amar b'yochanan, lo shanu ela shechazar v'nitgale. This halacha, which says that if it was covered naturally by the wind, that you have to still go ahead and cover it, it's only if the second windstorm came and uncovered it. In other words, you had a pool of blood, it was covered automatically by some wind, and then it became uncovered automatically. But as long as the blood actually is physically covered, it doesn't matter who covered it, there's no active obligation on your part to cover it. That's what he says. Amar Rabba Bar Chana Amar Yochanan, lo shanu ela shechazar v'nitgaleh, aval lo chazar v'nitgaleh patur min l'chasot. But now the Gemara asks, v'chazar v'nitgaleh, mai havi, ha itchile? How can this mitzvah, which has been eliminated, somehow be resurrected? There's a general principle of ein bichoy, that once the mitzvah has disappeared, it's lost its status. Amar Rabba Papa Zot Omeret Ein Dichoy Yetzel Mitzvah. That this principle that a mitzvah can be that if something loses its status it can't recover is a halacha in Kabbanot, but it doesn't apply to actually mitzvot aseh. So if there's a situation in which for one reason or other you are prevented from performing a mitzvah at the appropriate time, but the opportunity re-arises, that the fact that this mitzvah had been eliminated from possibility for a certain period of time does not render it inoperative.
Is there a time limit on that?
Because Gemara doesn't say any time limit. We don't have a time limit as far as I know. Umayshna mehara tanya shochet b'nivla b'kalka chayav l'chasov. The Mishnah says that if the blood has been absorbed by the earth, then you still have to cover it. Here we have learned, Rabbi Baruch Hanna just told us that this mitzvah chiyuv l'chasot, if chisal ha'ruach chayav l'chasot, it's only if the blood becomes uncovered. There, if the blood has been soaked up on the ground, the Mishnah says that you still have to cover. So the Gemara says, hatam keshev reshimo nika. It means that there's still some moisture on the surface of the earth from the blood, so that even though most of the blood has been absorbed by the earth, there's still some residual surface moisture then you have to cover.
I mean that there's some liquid, not just a stain.
Yeah, there's a slight dispute as to how what Yishumo Nikal means. It's difficult to maintain that it means just a stain, so I'm just interpreting Yishumo Nikal a little bit more strictly, namely that there's some residual moisture. Okay? Now, let's go back to my page 5. I'm going through various portions in the second within in reverse. Gemara says, describes a situation in which they had trained archers who were able to slaughter wild birds in flight. That is, they had they made a bdika on a little piece of razor blade which was attached to the top of an arrow, right?
And
that's a good question. You're worried that he may miss. Maybe he felt so sufficiently sure that he would make the bracha in advance, assuming that he wouldn't miss. Okay? At any event,
maybe
the Gemara...
keep shooting until he hits.
In any event, the Gemara is concerned with a slightly different problem. Namely, our halacha of kisui hadam. Well, again, kisui hadam would not be a problem. He could just run over to wherever the blood from the bird falls and cover it, except for the halacha that we learned in our Gemara and Beitza, namely that you have to have an undercoating. That is, the blood actually has to have a fa'ola mata and a fa'ola mala. So if you're shooting at it...
Isn't it itself good?
Well, that's our problem. Let's take a look. For Amar Rabbi Zeira, this is at the very top of this page, this is Daf Lamed Aleph. For Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav HaShochet Tzarich Shiitein Afar Lamata Ve'afar Lamala She'ne'amar V'chisol Ba'afar Afar Lo Ne'amar Ela Ba'afar Melamed She'ashochet Tzarich Shiitein Afar Lamata Ve'afar Lamala. But you have to have earth underneath. Then how did he arrange that if you're slaughtering the bird in flight? So the Gemara answers, this mazmin leila afar dekulei pitk. That you set aside all of the earth in the shooting range, in the valley or what have you. You have this large range over which the bird is flying, and you set aside all of the earth there to serve as the underpinning, the undercoating, the underabsorbing layer for the kisui hadam. Rashi, of course, derives from this the implication that you have to do something about the undercover. Without this Gemara, we would say that as long as you slaughtered an animal anywhere, but it wasn't on hard rock, it was over some absorbing earth, then that fulfills Rabbi Zeira's requirements, and then you just have to cover it on top. But the Gemara here, what does the Gemara here mean by the azmin? So let's take a look at Rashi. Ba'afal, mashma kulo tamun ba'afal, the mazmin le la'afra b'chuli pitka, afal kol ha'bikra haya maisiya u'v'chotesh. That he actually plowed up all of the earth in the valley to make sure that it was sufficiently absorbent. Oh, shahaya afal tichuach, or that it was shooting over the beach where it was already sand, he was shooting over a sand region. But Rashi adds, umazmino bepeh lakach. And you set all of the beach aside. So you're out near the beach and you see some kosher bird. Then you have to, according to Rashi, set aside the entire region of the beach where the blood might fall to be afal for the mitzvah of kisui hadam, and then you'll fulfill your obligation and have it the kisui ba'afal.
Just set aside the
beach. Just what Rashi says, mazmino bepeh. He indicates that it's make a declaration that this entire stretch of beach, all of Revere Beach, whenever the birds are flying over, if you have some pigeons, passenger pigeons, flying over Revere Beach, and you decide that you want to shecht them on the fly with your specially prepared arrows and so on, then you should set aside all of Revere Beach for the purpose of serving for afar the kisui hadam.
Can you check the rough money?
You can do that. What's the problem? That you can do afterwards. No problem. After all, you're going to presumably eat the birds, you're going to go collect them. You shouldn't send your dog out to fetch them. Maybe you have a problem with a Shiloh, right, whether the bites made were there before with the thing. So you go collect them by yourself. Tosfos, on the next, my next page, page 6, disagrees with that. This is Rabbi Zera's halacha, tzarish sheyehe afar lamata v'yafar lamata. So Tosfos distinguishes between the two, right? My page 6, I've marked the Tosfos. Tzarish sheyehe afar lamata v'yafar lamala. Afar shalamala mitzvah sheyehe booth. The cover, there's a specific mitzvah that you yourself, the shochet, should put on it. The hakisahu v'nitgale patur milachasot. That if you cover it once and it becomes uncovered, you're not obligated to cover it a second time. However, if you didn't cover it, but this became covered automatically, then there's a mitzvah. Aval, afar shalamata, the undercoating of earth, ein sarich shiyitein hu, im yesh afar, hare ke'ilu natan hu ha'afar. There is no requirement on your part to prepare yourself the undercoating. V'hodi amwinan la'el v'perek sheni, the mazmine l'kulei bitka, that the Gemara that we just read, implying that you got the whole thing prepared, haynu b'makom sh'ayah ka'apak kacheh, hayah chofer mishum d'be'inan sh'yafah tichuah. If the region was not over the beach, but over a rough and solid terrain where the earth would not normally absorb the blood, then you have to plow it up in advance. Okay. Umiyu, Tosfos says, La'el piresh b'kuntrut shehiyem hayom azminol v'felakach. Tosfos is aware of the fact that this goes counter to Rashi's opinion. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi and cites Rashi as a contrary opinion. Okay. Let's take a look in the Rif, and we're on page 7. Tano Rabbanan et damol v'kisahu, melameid shekol damol chayev l'chasot. Mikan amru hanitaz, dam hanitaz v'sha'al agapayim chayev l'chasot. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, v'me dvarin amurim shelo kisa dam hanefesh, avo kisa dam hanefesh patrol l'chasot. V'may kemithlugi, hanakama savar kol damol, v'av Yehuda savar afilu mitzat damol, v'av Rabbi Shimon Gamliel savar damol amyuchat. The Hilchata Ketanakam. The halacha is like the Tanakam. What about the Nikin? The Kapir Shah Rabbi Yehuda. The letter of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The Kamwin and Kamakam Shishano Rabbi Yehuda Imatai Vame Eno El Lafarish Devarecha Famin, but Phil of Yopman Kaled with Kamar, but Emetai Moda Hilcha Chavdin and Karabanan, who keep the Farish Rabbi Yehuda, but look Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So he twists this Gemara around. Instead of interpreting it as a three-way machloket, he interprets Rabbi Yehuda's statement as an explanation of the Chachamim's statement. In other words, he has taken our Gemara and interpreted it as saying that Rabbi Yehuda is not really disagreeing with the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda is simply explaining the position of the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon Ram Gamliel is a machmir who requires the covering of all the blood. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying that all you have to do is cover some of it. So he's interpreting the Gemara not the simplest way that we would be able to read the Gemara, right? Exactly opposite of Rashi. Let's take a look in the Rashi, just the Rashi and the Gemara, but it's cited here as the Rif. In the Rif, Aval kiso dam hanefesh u'shlusha machlokot v'davar rabbanan savri hakol boi kisui, lo rabbanan gamriel dafto kol dam hanefesh boi kisui, lo rabbi Yehuda afilu kol dam hanefesh v'zman shiyish shal dam acher patur. Okay. So he's interpreting this, that Rabbi Yehuda really doesn't disagree with the Tanakam. Right? Strange position of the Rif, but that's the halach. If we take a look at the next page, in the Baal Hamol, v'zeh she'pasak ha'rif zal v'dam ha'nitaz v'dam she'al gabei ha'sakin ketana d'matnikin u'rikaporish Rabbi Yehuda, lo sviro lanhoch. The kevan dachazi v'gemar v'vraita shalosh machlakot v'davar, huvrao lanu ha'davar v'zush, Rabbi Yehuda choleku v'eino mefarish. Rabbi Yehuda is not explaining the position of the Tanakhama, but offering a contrary view. אַפאל פיש אמו בכל מקום שאמר רב יהודה אימתי אינו אלא מפרש דברי חכמים כגון זו אין למדים מן הכללות The Maida Amar the lower Taresh for Matanitin Shabbi Huda Chaleku it Taresh for Brayta Uve Gemara. Both the Brayta and the Gemara, the way we read it in our text, clearly seem to indicate that there's a three way machlokim, as Rashi explains. The Hilchah Taked Rabbanan the Amri Kol Damol Chayav Lachasot Ba'ilu Daman Tital Shal Gabi Sikin Vegaril Lamo Chasila. So the Baal HaMor is a very big machmir in this halacha. Practically impossible to follow the Baal HaMor, but here is his position. The Baal HaMor interprets the Gemara like Rashi interprets it, and comes away with, since you have a three-way machloket, you have a Stam Mishnah, you have Rabban Shimon, Gamliel, and Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha should be like the Stam Mishnah. So, there is that position. Let's take a look in the Shulchan Aruch. השוחט חיה או עוף צריך לחסות דמו בין צדן עתה בין שהיו מזמנים בידו. Contrary to the simplest interpretation of the psukim, that you might be thinking that this is dealing with a wild animal or a bird that's trapped in the field, the halacha al kisui adam applies to domesticated fowl as well as wild fowl, and it will apply to animals, wild animals which you have trapped for a while. Okay. V'hakisui d'rama ed hi mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Aval hashtutak sheira af im heizid v'lo kisa. The issue of whether the kisui is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma basically comes to counter one opinion that we'll find in the next siman, that is the opinion of the Bahag, that you should think of the kisui hadam as part and parcel, the end stage of the mitzvah of shechita. The difference would be about the bracha. If the kisui hadam is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma,
one bracha is enough.
No, it's not. No, everyone will agree that there should be two bracha. Perhaps the issue is whether the bracha of kisui hadam is then to be made before or after the kisui hadam. If they're all part of one mitzvah, and you're making a mitzvah on the kisui hadam, then the bracha that you make on the kisui hadam is, so to speak, a bracha that you finish the mitzvah with. But the bracha of shechita is going to apply as well to the kisui hadam. But in this particular case, since it's like those who say two brachot on tefillin. One is in advance on the tefillin before you put on the tefillin shel yad, and the other is after you've managed to arrange, or as you're arranging to put on the tefillin shel
yad.
Okay. Or like the brachot that you have on the mila, one before and the other brachot lachnisa levuita shel avraham avinu.
The person gets to a different madrega, that's what you make the brachot for.
Whatever. The Bahag says, you can take your argument to the Bahag. The Bahag says that you make the bracha, everyone disagrees with it, and the halacha is not that way. So our accepted view is that all brachot, with very rare exceptions, are made in advance. And that's what we'll see. Chayav levarech,
let's see. Excuse me, kisui requires a beforehand, that makes it even more difficult. You have to put down right before the shechita.
Yeah, before you start the shechita, you have spread the earth, or you can...
So what, you have to make a bracha first?
That's a good question. Chayav levarech kodem shiyachase, asher kitshana, according to Rashi, you mean. Chayav levarech kodem shiyachase, asher kitshana b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu al kisui dam ba'afar. The Rambam doesn't have this phrase, ba'afar, that is, normally speaking, we don't put in all the detailed descriptions of the... Right? Just like when you say al hafrish chala, or you say lahafrish chala min ha'isa. In general, we don't add all of these descriptive phrases to the book. Okay. Mi sheshachat pam harishona mevarech shechiyanu al hakisui avalo hatzala shita demazik leberius. Actually... The last one. I never make the right number.
This week you did. On the nose.
It doesn't leave me any left over.
If I had to get my reading glasses.
Huh?
I hadn't got my reading glasses.
So you want it for later, perhaps. All right. As a matter of fact, we don't follow this psak of the Shulchan Aruch or the Ramah in any way. We don't make a shekhiyan, or even if you on Kisui Hadan, even for the first time. Koi, shehu safek chaya, ve'uklayim habamin abahimah v'chaya, tzarif lachasot damon ve'ino mubarek, because it's a safek. Ve'in shochtim otam v'yom tov, v'in shachtam eino machaset damon, uvalayla im rishimo mikar yechasen. Okay, the koi is an animal which is a borderline case, like some kind of a domesticated deer. It's not clear which classes of animals this covers, but there are various animals which are borderline between a behema and a chaya.
What's borderline mean?
And if you slaughter one of these animals on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to cover it on Yom Tov. But the Motza'ei Yom Tov, if there's still a sign of the at night, if there's still a sign of
you have to
show
at night?
No.
He's saying you slaughtered it during the day. And
but
it was Yom
Tov. You're permitted to cover.
Okay. A buffalo, no, given shelo lachasot damo. I don't know exactly what a buffalo is. It's some prime form of bull or cow, but I'm not sure. I don't think it's referring to the American buffalo. Hmm? Yeah, it says, but I'm not quite sure exactly why there should have been a question about. Yeah. The question is whether it's about
Detroit.
Okay. The Shulchan Aruch says clearly that this is the European buffalo. It's not the American bison. Different animals. V'yesh mistapkim b'buffalo shehusho habal shema chayahu. There's some question as to whether this buffalo is or is not a chaya. Balkain tov lachasal b'lo bracha. O yishlishchot of gam kain v'az yuchal avarech al kisui mishum ha'ov. Tzarich shiye lamata afar tichuach. You have to have soft earth underneath. V'tzarich lazmino b'peh. That's Rashi's position. V'yesh amrim she'eno tzarich. And that's the position of Tosafot. Okay. Let's take a look at the shach. V'tzarich lazmino b'peh. Perish ha'afar b'lamata tzarich lazmin b'peh l'shem kisui. Hecha d'matza afar tichuach. V'im lav kein la'avid mi. V'chein kishenotein hu l'shem afar tichuach. Chashiv kazmana. Kein mashmur perish rashi per chashotein. V'chein hu ba'aguda. V'hayesh amwim sviru lehu. V'im matza afar tichuach. V'shachat olah ha'day b'kach. Aval afar shalamala l'chul yamatzar shiitein hu. Gilita v'tosfot v'ish perek kisui hadar. V'chein mashma v'rabenu yoruchim. V'nir agli de lo pligi elo le mitzvah men amulchar, aval diyavad pashur v'l'chul yamma insar shiitein hu afilu afar shalamala, da kisahu avuach, v'sivin yura alach patum elachasov, v'hu mishnashlein. So I'm not quite sure what the Shach is trying to tell us. So he's trying to say, presumably, that if you didn't, even according to Rashi, if you didn't prepare the earth underneath and you still have some more blood left over, you're not obligated to put in a separate lining of earth underneath and cover it. I don't know whether Rashi would agree with that position. But since we don't decide the halacha like Rashi in any event, but we take Tosafot's position, it's not terribly relevant. Okay.
Is that blood also burned by no? Blood.
Yeah.
Sui dung.
Yeah.
Is that also by
no? No.
They use that for their blood.
Could, in principle. Machasevi yado over sakin over kli acher. Aval lo buraglo kulei shelo yeh mitzvot kuzuyot ala. Shachach lo haya afar lamata tzarich ligror hadam ulitno bi afar tichuach ulo chasol afar tichuach ala. In other words, this halacha of Rabbi Zera is ma'akeh. Misha shachat hu yechaseh. The principal obligation of the mitzvah kisui hadam is on the person who performs the shvita. The imlo kisav ra'u acher chayav lachaseh. Shachat meya chayot o meya ofot o shachat chayav ha'ot v'machom echad kisui echad l'kulam. You don't have to separately perform kisui. Hashokhet v'nivla hadam b'karka imu yishomo nikar chayav lachaseh.
You could wait till the other day and then just
No, doesn't say that. He said he doesn't. But if the blood is accumulating, then you don't have to rush in and do each one. In other words, if you're planning to slaughter a lot of animals at once, you don't have to cover in the
mitzvah this way.
That's right. So therefore, you should cover it before it gets all soaked up. But if you have a large amount of blood, you don't have to worry about it getting all soaked up. Kisal avlach patur melachasov v'im chazal v'nitgaleh chayav lachasov. Aval imhu atzmo kisal v'nitgaleh enol chayav lachasov pa'am achel. Okay, dam shenafal l'toch ha'mayim u'mayim shenafal l'toch ha'dam u'yesh pa'amor adam chayav lachasov v'im la patur. Nitarev adam b'yayin adom o b'yadam b'hema ro'im ha'yayin v'dam ha'bema ki'ilu hu'mayim v'ilu nitarev v'mayim kishor azah ha'yu ba'arach adam chayav lachasov. Shachat ofo chayav v'shachat alav b'hema patur melachasov. שאין צריך לחסות כל הדם. לפיכך, אין צריך לחסות עד שיצא כל הדם. אין צריך להמתין לחסות עד שיצא כל הדם. מי הוא ימתין עד שמתחיל לראה טיפין כדי שיחסה מקצת דם הנפש? That's a chumra for Rabin Shmuel's position. But we don't necessarily pask in that way, certainly not to be a bad. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam both agree that the halacha is like the Rif and not like Rashi or the Baal Hamor, because life would really be extremely difficult if we, even though the simplest interpretation of the Pesukim and of the Gemara is like Rashi and Baal Hamor, here I think life has triumphed over the literal interpretation of the Gemara. It would be practically impossible to fulfill this. Hashoket l'chole b'shabbat, in a situation where you are slaughtering an animal on Shabbat, afilu miyesh lo deka na'utz v'lo yechaseh, afilu miyesh lo deka na'utz v'layla imu shomu nika yechaseh. Yesh mi shomer shim hayelo afa mukhan l'chaseh po tzolat, you had some sawdust or some earth already available for purposes or other purposes, then yesh l'chaseh po adam afilu b'shabbat. השוחט ונתנבלה בידו, ששחט ונמצא כתריפה פתור ולחסות. וכן חיירי שוטה וקטן ששחטו ואין החיירים רואים אותם, חזקת שקיטתם מקוקלת ופתורה מכיסור. השוחט, אף על פי שאינו צריך אלא לדם, חייב לחסות, כיצד יעשה, נוחר או מעקר כדי שיפתח מן הכיסור. צריך לבדוק הסימנים והסכין קודם הכיסור, כדי שלא יברפה לבטלה. השוחט חיה לא יחסה עד שיבדוק הראייה ונמצא טריפה מחסה בלא ברכה. מועדים לכל פיסול של מחמת ספק, כאילו נהיד החשין אנשי מביאון נפגעו וכן כל כי יוצא בזה. אבל בדבר שמדינה הוא קשה רק שמחמירים בו, כאילו נמחתה כל המחרקת וכיוצאו לו חייבים לחסות without a ברכה, or with a ברכה or not doesn't make clear. מי שאין לו אפר לחסות פה לא ישקוט, אלא ימתין עד שיהיה לו אפר. ואם הוא הולך במדבר או בספינה ולא למצא אדם בבגד ובסנדל ומברך, וכשיגיע למקום הפר יחבש הבגד או הסנדל שיצא אדם מהצא ולא ברכה. מאוד חדיש עם הגאון, סבח לי מאוד. So you can preserve the blood, freeze dry, and then perform the mitzvah of kisui adam later.
What happens?
That's no good.
Could he soak it up in rags? Could he soak it up in rags?
That's what it says. Soak it up in rags and then squeeze it out, rinse it out later and perform the mitzvah. השוחט חייב העוף לא יצא מהם דם מותרים. Now what is the definition of afal? So far we've taken up how much blood, what type of blood, and what type of shechit. כל הדברים שהזרעים הנזרעים בהם מצמיחים הם בכלל afal מחסים בהם. ואינם מצמיחים בהם אם נקראו afal מחסים בהם, ולפיכך מחסים בזבל ובכל הדק מאוד, עד שאין היוצר צריך לקצר כלל, ובסיד, ובחרסית לבינה, ולבינה, ומגופה של חרס של קצן, ובשקיקת הבנים, ובשקיקת חרסים, ובנאורת של פשטן דקה, ובנסורת חרשים, סודס, ובאוכלים על בגדים שרופים עד שנעשו אפר, or ashes from the fire, ובשחרור וכחול, ובנחות הפסולים, אבל אין מחסה בזבל גס, ולא בכל של היוצר צריך לחדשו, ולא בקמח, בסודים ומוצן, ולא בסתיקת מתכת אם אינם שרופים, חוץ מבזהב שחוק שנעבר שנקרא אפר דפתיר, ביחוד זהב לא. ואיפה נקרא אפר דפתיר ולקחו לתמי, מאפר שריפת החטא. So therefore, ashes and sawdust and earth, all of those things are fit for kisui hadak. Ein machasim biyafar nidab kiyaratz melecha ve'ein matzmechet, lachen ein machasim biyafar lacha l'mayim kirgom l'tunta ve'ein lachasot b'shelek, that all of that doesn't count as kisui hadak. So those are the halachot of kisui hadak. For more details on the subject, in particular the machloket between the baramol and the other chachamim, I will leave you with the Orach HaShulchan, who goes into these matters in detail. I don't think that they will go into these matters in detail. But what time is it now? Let's see if we have time for
5 of 9.
Okay, we have time for another topic. Let's take up an entirely different topic. So much for Kisui Hadam. They cover them at the end of the day.
They have just a huge bear of sawdust.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was
going to
ask.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me skip a little bit in the Gemara. I mean, since there's little chance that we're going to finish the Masechta by the end of the semester, I can skip a little. So let's skip to Daf Tet. Okay. All right. So let's pass this down.